The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Vayakel. The Torah is continuing with the commands and the actual asiyah, the making of the Mishkan, the sanctuary, and with all of its vessels. Near the end of Parshas Vayakel, Perek Lamed Ches, Posuk Ches. Vayase sa kior in necheshes, veizkane necheshes. And he made, Moshe made the kior, the copper fountain, and the copper base for it. V'mareis hatseves asher tzovu pesach el moed. From the mirrors, the word mare means a mirror. From the mirrors, which were brought forth and stood up, Pesach Ohel Moed, at the opening of the Ohel Moed, at the opening of the Mishkan, of the tent. Rashi brings, what were these mirrors? The Nosh Yisrael Hoyu Biyodon Mares, the daughters of Israel, they had in their possession mirrors. Shereis Behen Kishem Iskashtes. They would look into these mirrors when they ornamented themselves. Va'af Eisen Le'ikva Melohovi, the Nidvis HaMishkon. And when Moshe gave the command that we need materials for the building of the sanctuary, and we will need gold and silver and copper, so they did not refrain from bringing these mirrors. Moshe did not really want to accept these mirrors, because asuim liyetzahara, they're made for vanity. He said, why should we bring these mirrors which are made for vanity and for the yetzahara here into the Mishkan, into the sanctuary, which is the most holy place in Klal Yisrael? So Moshe did not want to accept these mirrors. Omale HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, said to Moshe, Kabel, take them. Ki elu chavivin alai min hakol. Because from all of the nedoves, from all of the contributions that all of Israel is bringing, these are more dear to me and precious than everything else. Shal yedehem emidu hanoshim tzevois rabeis b'mitzrayim. Because it was through these mirrors that the women were able to bring up, were able to create tzevos rabbis, great armies. See, it states here in the posuk, with the mirrors, hatzeves asher tzovu pesach el maid. The mirrors, now the word svo means to, can mean to stand up. With the mirrors that they stood up here by the Mishkan. But here the Medrash darshans, tzevos means armies, hosts. It was through these mirrors that they created great hosts in Egypt. During the years of slavery in Egypt, and the husbands were given avedis perech, slave labor, crushing labor, and their husbands would come home from the fields, and all weary, fatigued. So their wives would go out, and they would bring to them food and drink, and they would feed them, and then they would take the mirrors, and they would look into the mirror together with their husband, and through this they would entice their husbands. They would say, look, I am more beautiful than you. And then they would arouse the desires of their husbands. And through this, their husbands would unite with them. And the women became pregnant, their wives, and they gave birth. And this is what the Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Tachas Tapuach Eirar Ticho, that I awoke you under the fruit tree. V'zeu Shenema B'mareis HaTzfeis. And this is what it means here, the mirrors, which through this they brought up hosts of armies for Israel. V'nase hakir mehem,
And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, take them. These are more precious to me than everything else. And you should use the copper for the kiyur v'kamei, for the fountain. There were various vessels in the Mishkan, and the vessels were made from various materials. Some were made from gold, and some silver, and some wood, and some copper. And the fountain was made from copper. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, use this copper for the fountain. Why for the fountain? Shehu lasum sholem bein ish liishto. Lahashkesh mimayim shebeseichai lemi shekina lebaila v'nishtara. Because the fountain had various functions. And one of the functions were, in the parsha of Seter, we learn later on in the Torah, that if a woman is unfaithful to her husband, she becomes an adulteress. So then, there's a severe penalty. But in a case where there is a doubt whether an unfaithful act took place, but there's good cause to believe that it might have, in such a case, the Gemara specifies what's the particular case. In such a case, she's not permitted to return to her husband until she drinks from the water of the fountain in the Mishkan, in the sanctuary, and this will prove her innocence. So we see that this fountain was made to create peace between ish l'ishtei, between man and his wife. Therefore, the Almighty said, use these mirrors for the fountain, because since these mirrors originally brought peace between man and his wife, let the fountain be made for it, from it, that also will bring peace between man and his wife. V'teidach loch shehein marais mamish. And Rashi says a proof that we're speaking here actually of mirrors. Because it states later on that the total copper that was collected for the Mishkan was 70 kikars, a measurement of 70 kikars. And it states what was made from the copper, and the fountain is not mentioned. So what do we see? That the 70 kikos of copper which was collected from Klal Yisrael, this was used for other needs of the Mishkan, but the copper fountain in its base, this was built from something else. And therefore we see it must have been built from this, from the mirrors that the women brought. The marito shelohi necheshi shel kir menecheshi satinufa, kach dorish reb tanchuma. And Unkeles also explains Mares, this means the Machzias, the mirrors. In the Medrash Reb Tanchuma, not here in Parshas Vayakel, but in Parshas Pikudei, this is also brought, but with a little different language. In Perek Tes, Perek Tes, the Medrash brings Atah Meitzi B'Shosho Yisrael B'Avedis Perek B'Mitzrayim Goza Aleihem Parish Shlo Yesheinim V'Batayim Shlo Yemeshamshim Mitoseihem. That we find that when Klal Yisrael was enslaved in Egypt, Parai made a decree that the men must sleep in the fields. They're not allowed to return to home because he didn't want them to multiply. So therefore he separated them from their wives, because his whole direction was to destroy Klal Yisrael. So So what did the daughters of Israel do? Yodus lishav mayim min hayor, v'akodesh baruch hu hayah mazmin lahem dogim ktanim v'seich kadehem. They would go and they would bring water from the springs and from the river, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would see that small fish came into their jugs of water, and then they would take this fish and they would prepare it for their husbands, and they would go out to the fields and they would feed their husbands and give them to drink, and then they would take out their mirrors, nightly samaras. And, like the Rashi brings, they would then look at themselves in the mirrors together with their husbands, and they would arouse the desires of their husbands. In this way, they would bring their husbands to unite with them and to have children. And then the Medrash brings, Rabbi Seinu Omrim, Yesh Omrim Yoldu Shnaim Bebasachas, Yesh Omrim Shisha Bekeres Echad, Yesh Omrim Shnaim Osa Bekeres Echad, Yesh Omrim Shishim Rabu. And then the Medrash says it was through this that they multiplied through such intensity, because, like it states at the beginning of Parshas Shmos Vayishratzu, that they multiplied in great numbers. Some say 2 at a time, and some say 6 at a time, and some say 12 at a time. And it was through this that they reached that even though when they came down to Egypt with Yaakov Avinu, there were only a family, a household of 70 people. But in a short span of time, they were there for 210 years, they reached the numbers of millions. Because when they left Egypt, there were 600,000 men between the ages of 20 and 60. This doesn't count the wives. This doesn't count the many children that they had. This does not count the ones over 60. And this does not count those that didn't go out. There was a huge number that stayed in Egypt that did not go out, that did not believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you take a calculation of this, there were many, many, many millions from 70 people over a period of 210 years. And then, that's what it states, Vatimaleha Oretz Esau, that the land filled up with them, because Sheriano Esau Kein Yirbe V'Kein Yifreitz. And the more the Egyptians were demanded from them, and the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied. And then the Medrash brings, this was all through the schus of Esau and Amares. This all came from these copper mirrors. Show Yamares Labale and Margilis and Sonly Day Taiva. And it was from here that Hamid Tzveis Hashem. Hamidon. It was through this that the women with their mirrors brought up a whole generation, an entire army. Kiven Shomalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe L'Asis Es HaMishkan. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, go make a Mishkan, build a sanctuary for me. Sanctuary was the most holiest place by Klal Yisrael, like we've explained in the past sedras. This was to become the Beis HaMikdosh, the temple. And this was the place of the Shechinas Hashem, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will dwell, V'shochanti B'seichom. So he told Moshe, go and make a Mishkan, and ask the people to bring the gold and the silver and the copper and the wools and so forth. Kiven Shomalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make a Mishkan, omdu kol Yisrael, v'nisnadvu mi shehevi kesef, u'mi shehevi zov, v'necheshes v'av nishoyim v'av nimluim, hevi b'zrishes hakol. So anyone who had gold brought gold, silver, precious stones, whatever was needed, with a great zrizus, with a great enthusiasm. Omru anoshi ma yesh lonu litein benidves hamishkan. And the women said, what can we bring? What should we bring? Omdu ve'evios amaris, v'holchu lehen etzul Moshe. So they came with their copper mirrors, and they brought it to Moshe. Kishara Moshe yison amaris, zoach behen omar lehem Yisrael, tulu makleis v'shibru. When Moshe saw that they were bringing these mirrors, he said, he became angry, and he told Israel, break them, see? Or chase them away. They're bringing mirrors here to the Mishkan. What would we do with them here? Hamar is lo mein srichin, What purpose, what use can the mirrors have here? Omele HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty said to Moshe, Moshe, al eila atom avaza, are you disgracing these mirrors? Amarus elu heim amidu kol hatzvois al lolo b'mitzrayim. It was because of these copper mirrors that an entire generation was created, the generation that went out of Egypt. Tul mehen, take them. Ba'ase mehen kiyo necheshis v'kanei, make from it the copper fountain in its base, l'kahanim shemimenu yim iskatshin ha'kahanim. For the Kahanim, because from here the Kahanim will sanctify themselves. Because, as I mentioned, it had several functions. The basic function of the fountain was that every day when the Kohanim, when the priests would go into the Beis Hamikdash to do the Aveda, to bring the sacrifices or whatever was done in this sanctuary, first it was V'ra'achatzu es yedehem v'es raglehem. They would have to sanctify their hands and their feet in the waters of this fountain. So this fountain is for the sanctification of the Kahanim. Let it be built from the mirrors. The Fichoch, therefore, it states in the Torah, B'mareis asher tzoveis, the mirrors, atzeves asher tzove pesach el maid, which they brought and they stood up, which created generations of people, they brought to the Ohel Meid, they brought to the Mishkan. There's a Gemara in the Bavli, which is somewhat similar to this. It tells us a little more. The Gemara is in Mesech Teseter. And the Afyur Aleph Amid Beis, Dorash Rav Aviro. Rav Aviro, there's two Gyusas here. Rav Aviro or Rebbe Kiva. Rebbe Kiva darshaned, expounded. Bishar Noshim Tzidkeinie Shohoyu Ba'eis Ador Nigoalo Yisrael Mimitzrayim. Through the righteous acts of the righteous women that were in that generation in Egypt, Nigoli Yisrael Mimitzrayim, Israel was redeemed. So here the Gemara tells us that it was through the Schus HaNoshim, the merit of the women, that Israel was redeemed. And it brings this episode, Bishor Shaholches Lishev Mayim, when they would go to draw water, Kodesh Baruch Hu Mazmin Lahem Dogim Ktanim Bekadehem. Now read just part of it because it's a very long Gemara, also very complex. So Kodesh Baruch Hu made it that from the rivers that they drew the water, there would be also small fish. V'shayavas Maximayim Maxa Dogim, and they would draw in their buckets half water and half fish. Ubaos V'shayfsish Shtei Kederis. And they would take and make two jugs from it, two pots, and they would warm it up, cook it up. Acha shel chamin, one warm water, acha shel dogim, and one fish. Or meliches etzel balei nesode. Then they would go out to the fields where their husbands were, because their husbands didn't come home. And their husbands were fatigued from the crushing labor. Umarchitze seison, they would bathe them with the warm water, v'sake seison, and they would anoint them. And they would give them the food to eat and water to drink. And there they would unite with their husbands. Bein shefatayim means in the boundary of the two, of the, where the fields met. So Rashi explains, the Gemara brings a pasuk from Tehillim. And Rashi explains that
where the two fields would meet, they would make kind of a low piece of land, and then it would be very grown over with grass or weeds. And this was the bench of a time. This was the boundaries of the two fields. So there they would unite with their husbands. And then the Gemara brings a pasuk from Tehillim. In Tehillim Samaches, Samaches pasuk Yud Dalet, Im Tishkavun Ben Shifatayim, that they lay together between the boundaries of the fields. Kanfe Yona, Nechpa Vakesev, the wings of the Yona. The Yona is the dove, and Klal Yisrael is symbolized to a dove. The wings of the dove were covered with silver, Vevreiseho, and its wings were Birakrak Chorutz, were made of a precious greenish yellow gold. This is what the pasuk tells us. So the Gemara darshins, Bishar tishkvun bein shefatai, because they united with their husbands, Zohur Yisrael, so Klal Yisrael was zeicher to all of the silver. The wings were covered with silver and were covered with gold. They merited all of this silver and all of this gold. What are we speaking about? Zohul Yisrael Bizas Mitzrayim. The Bizas Mitzrayim. That when they came out of Egypt and they came to the sea, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the waters to drown all of the Egyptians had ornamented their chariots and their horses and their soldiers with gold and silver. And all of this gold and silver was washed to the shore, and there Yisrael took all of this bounty. And this was known as the Bizas Mitzrayim. Well, there was the Bizas Mitzrayim and the Bizas Hayam. Also, what they took out of Egypt. What they took from Egypt and what they took from the sea. So because of this, they were zeicher, they merited all of the gold and the silver from Egypt and from the sea. Then the Gemara continues. Kivin shemis abreis, when they fell pregnant, boz levatehen, they went to their homes, the women. They waited for the time to give birth. When they gave birth, then they had to hide the children, because Egypt had made a decree that all of the children must be killed, all of the zechorim, the males. So they had to hide the children. And the Gemara goes through a long explanation how they hid the children and how they fed the children and how they took care. Then when it came time to go out of Egypt, the children were saved by a great miracle. Kodesh Baruch Hu took special care of the children in order to conceal them from the Egyptians and to see that no harm was brought to them. When they came out of Egypt and they crossed the sea, so the Gemara says, Kishin nigla Kodesh Baruch Hu alayam, and Kodesh Baruch Hu revealed himself on the sea to Klal Yisrael, hey mikiru tchila. It were these children that recognized the Kodesh Baruch Hu first, because it was these children that were taken care of personally by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Shnemar ze keli vadvehu, the ones on the sea that said, ze keli vadvehu, this is my God and I shall beautify him or I shall make a home for him, it were these children that grew up. They heim hikiruhu tchila, they recognized him first. And the Gemara brings another posuk. Gemara brings a posuk from Shir HaShirim. In Shir HaShirim, Perches, posuk Hey, Mi zeis eile min amidbar, misrapekes al deido. Who is this that came up from the desert, misrapekes al deido, to cleave to her beloved?
Tachas ha-tapuach oiraticho. That I awoke you out in the field, under the fruit tree. Shoma hiblosko imecho. It was there that your mother gave birth to you. Shoma hiblo yelodosko. It was there, out in the field, under the trees, that your mother had the birth pangs. See, gave birth to this generation. From this, these midrashim and these gemaras that we just learned, we see that even though Moshe Rabbeinu had difficulty in understanding this, he didn't want to accept the mirrors until HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed him and taught him. We see from here that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu how great the Milo in Kedushas HaZivuk. How great it is to him, the unity between man and a wife. To the point where he took these mirrors into the Mishkan, in the sanctuary, and instructed that the fountain of the Kohanim should be made from them. And this, two things are mentioned here. One is that it was through this that the fountain should be made, through these acts. And secondly, it was through this chus that the bonim, the children, Klal Yisrael, were nigoalu mimitzrayim, were redeemed from Egypt. This is what we see from him. That even though we might not think, and Moshe didn't think, that these mirrors were so important, but we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Kabel, take them, Shem Chavivin Alay Mikulam, they're more dear to me than all of the Nedovas, all of the contributions. That we see how great the unity is between man and wife, to the point where the Kior and Kanoi, the fountain, was instructed to be made from these mirrors. And it was through this chus, the Gemara tells us, that Klal Yisrael was redeemed from Egypt. Let's see if we can get a little greater insight into this. I need a Rambam on Zmanim, the second Chelek of Zmanim. The Maral, in various places, elaborates on this. Many places in his forum. One place where he elaborates is in Gvuras Hashem Perek Mem Gimel. And we'll use some of the principles which he teaches us. The first thing we should know, something that unfortunately is not appreciated by people. What does it mean, shalom? The concept of shalom, of peace. What is the value of that concept? Time doesn't allow us tonight to give an entire shir on shalom. We've done it in the past. But let it suffice to quote one Rambam. The Rambam at the end of Hilchos Chanukah, Perek Dalet Halacha Yud Dalet, brings a Gemara, Hoye Lefonav Ner Beisei V'Ner Chanukah. It was Chanukah and it was Shabbos. Erev Shabbos. Comes time to light the Chanukah candles and to light the Shabbos candles. But the man is a poor man and he has enough oil only for one candle. Or another case. It's Erev Shabbos, Friday. The man's a poor man and he has a little money. He can either buy wine with it for Kiddush,
Or he can buy Shabbos candles. In other words, if it's not during Hanukkah, during the year. What should he give precedence to? Should he give precedence to the Shabbos candles? Or to the Hanukkah candles? Or to the wine for Kiddush? So the Gemara says, Nerbeisei Kedem. The Shabbos candles comes first. Why? Mishum Shalom Beisei. Because Kiddush, the purpose of Kiddush is to sanctify Shabbos and to declare that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Shabbos and He made the world. Zochrehu, Zochore Shem HaShabbos, remember and declare the day of Shabbos. Zochrehu al Hayayin, you should do it over the yayin, over wine. The purpose of Hanukkah is Presumei Niso, to publicize to everyone the great miracle that took place. The purpose of the Shabbos candles, the Gemara says, is Shalom Bayis, because it brings peace in the house. Because a house in darkness, there cannot be peace. So bring Shalom to the house. So what is greater? Shalom Bayit Beis. Peace in one's house is greater. Shaharei Hashem Nimchak Lasei Shalom Beinish Lishtei. The Rambam says, what's a raya to this? Now this is what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Shalom Beis Adifo. It's the Gemara in Perek Bamem Alik in the second Perek of Masechet Shabbos. I didn't believe in Daf Chov Gimel. Now, the Rambam adds another Gemara. Where do we see that Shalom Bayis is so great? That there should be peace in one's household is so great? Because we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu was willing to erase his name for the sake of peace between man and his wife. The Gemara says that you're not allowed to erase HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. If Hashem's name is written, if you tear it or erase it, Yereve Leisase, transgress a negative commandment. Leisase kein l'Hashem Elokeichem. Idolatry is a mitzvah to break. But to break or to erase Hashem's name, this is a negative commandment in the Torah. Still we find that when there was a doubt, as we mentioned in the case of the Soter, that perhaps she was unfaithful, and the only way her faithfulness can be proven is through drinking from the waters of the fountain. So there was a ceremony that took place, a procedure, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name was written on a parchment, and the Kohen would take the parchment and put it into the water and let the waters erase it. And then that water had the power to prove or disprove her innocence. So we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed his name to be erased, even though this is a great Aveira. He broke his own name. The unity of his own name he broke. Why? To bring the unity in a person's home. To bring a unity between man and wife. See, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to break the unity of his own name to bring unity between man and wife, then definitely then the concept of Shalom Bayis is greater than Pesume Niso declaring a miracle or even declaring Shabbos. Therefore, if a man has enough money to buy Shabbos candles, but not Hanukkah candles also, or not wine for Kiddush, he should buy the Shabbos candles. Then the Rambam asks and adds, Godol HaShalom. So great is Shalom, shekol ha'teirin nitno la'asi Shalom ba'olam. Not like many people think that at the drop of the hat, it's worth to make machlekes. In any sphere, see. They're always ready to make a machlekes, to make a strife, to make a conflict. So great is Shalom, that shekol ha'Torah, the entire Torah was given to make Shalom ba'olam, to make peace in the world. Shneamar, as it states, Drocheho Darchei Noam, Bechol Nesiveseho Shalom. That the ways of Torah are the ways of beauty, and all of her paths are for peace. So here in a one halacha, we have a degree summed up, to a degree, what the concept of Shalom is. It's perhaps one of the greatest milos, one of the greatest achievements, one of the greatest attributes that we have. The Maral in many places writes that a person shouldn't think that Shalom is a level of this world. Machlekes is a level of this world. We live in a physical world. And strife and dissension That is linked to the physical world. Because strife and dissension is the opposite of unity. And unity is something which is beyond this world. Unity belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The true unity is the Echod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say Hashem Echod. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. One is completely, totally unified. The Almighty is one. There's a level of Shalom, which means perfection, completion, unity. Well, there's no fragmentation. When you find a disunity, this means that the oneness is being broken. That's linked to this world. In the physical world, you find pieces. You find sections. You find a fragmentation. You find machlekes. This is a principle which he writes in many, many places. It's for that reason the Gemara says that Shmei Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sholem Ve'osel HaHaskir B'mavos Mitunafes, that the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Sholem. One of Hashem's names is Sholem, peace. And therefore you're not allowed to mention that name in an unclean place. In an unclean place where you're not allowed to mention Hashem's names, you're not allowed to say Sholem to someone. Because that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. The fact that that can be the Almighty's name, that shows then that it's something which is above and beyond this world. A little indication to this is a pasuk that we have in the beginning of Bereishis. In Bereishis Beis, pasuk Yud, it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, made man, and he was going to place him in Gan Eden. V'nor yetzei me'eden lahashkish es hagan. And a river came out of the garden of Eden, to water the garden. U'mishom yipored v'hoye la'arbe roshim. And from there it divided and became four rivers. Now, Gan Eden is a level which is higher than this world. We see that as long as the river was in Gan Eden, it was one. Mishom Yipared, once it left the Garden of Eden, it divided. V'hoyela Arba Roshim. And it divided into four different tributaries. And the sages always refer to our world as the Olam HaChiluk, the Olam HaPirut. It's the world of division. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the source of the entire creation, there is the perfect oneness. But this world conceals his oneness, divides his oneness. And that's why that the river that was in Gan Eden, and Gan Eden was linked to an upper world, there it was one. But when it was Yetzei Mi Eden, once it went out of Eden, there the Torah tells us, Yipored, Misham Yipored, then it divided. No longer could it retain its oneness. V'hoyela Arba Roshim, and it was divided into four rivers. So this is an important principle that we must remember. That when we are striving for unity, for shalom, we are striving for something which is above this world, that belongs to the spiritual world. When we are involved in dissension and machlekes, in fragmentation, in friction, then we are sinking to the physical world. Because the physical world is a world of dissension. It's a world of fragmentation. It's an olam hachiluk v'hapirut. It is for that reason that the Rambam writes, so therefore we must always give precedence to Sholem Bayis. And if we have a mitzvah that's built on Sholem Bayis and other mitzvahs that are not built on Sholem Bayis, then that must take precedence. Now, this is true when it comes to peace in the world in general. And this is even more true when it comes to the unity between a man and his wife. Because in many aspects, the greatest unity that was afforded, that was given to the individual, is the unity which he can create between man and his wife. And this is the Sholem Bayis. So if this is true, when we're speaking of Sholem in the world, so then this is even more so true when we are referring to the Sholem of one's house, to Ish Vi Ishtai. And therefore, when there is a total unity, a total unity at all levels between man and his wife, that is not a physical level, that becomes a spiritual level. When there's a lack of total unity between man and his wife, then they fall. And they fall into the depths, to the lowliness of the physical world. This is why the Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu called man, Adam, a man, only after he gave Chava to Adam. After he created woman and he gave her to man, then it says, Vanikva Yikro Shmom Adam, he called them Adam. Man alone is not called Adam. It's not from the species of mankind that merits the name Adam, or women alone either. But only after he brought them together and there was this perfect unity at all levels, then they were called Adam. Because then they were Shalom. They were in totality, they were united, they were perfect. Now the Kiyor Vakanai, the fountain that our parsha is speaking about, served basically two functions. One, as mentioned, it was for the Kedushas HaKohanim. The Kohanim would come and sanctify themselves from the water of the fountain. Secondly, it was for the Parsha of Seder. It could prove the innocence of the unfaithful wife and bring man and wife together again. If we give some thought to this, both of these functions were to elevate physical man to higher spiritual levels. A Cain was Bosar Vadom, he was made of flesh and blood. When he would go into the Beis HaMikdash to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to bring sacrifices, and to serve his master, then there was a tremendous elevation. No longer was he someone merely made out of flesh and blood, but he was a person who was both physical and spiritual. He had a spirit, he had a soul, he had a mind, and he became elevated to the task. And what helped him become elevated was the fact that he was commanded before he would go to the altar, that he had to sanctify his hands and feet from the waters of the Kiyor Vikanai, from the waters of the fountain. So we see that the fountain's function was to elevate physical man into the spiritual being that he had potential to become. The same is true with the Parshas of Seder. The Torah tells us that an adulteress and an adulterer, they were called Satan, Kisista. The Gemara says, what does that come from? That word? That comes from the word Shtus. What does Shtus mean? Shtus is from the word Shaita. Shaita is a person who is not of sound mind. A person who is handicapped because he does not have proper mind. This is a shaitan. So what does it have to do with the adulterer and the adulteress? Ein haminofim
Ein haneafim in aafim, elim kein nichnes al behem ruach shtus. Because acts of unfaithfulness come only when a person falls from his level of the supreme mind that was given to him. What does this mean? Man was made from the physical and spiritual components. If he is led by his physical components and his mind and spirit become enslaved to his physical powers, then he's led to acts of unfaithfulness. If, however, that his mind and spirit are supreme, then to the contrary, he would be led to acts of faithfulness. This is why they're called Saita, from the word Saita. Further, the Gemara says, the Gemara asks, that when there was an adulteress, so she would bring a sacrifice, and her sacrifice would be seorim, barley. A sacrifice in the Beis Hamikdash was made of wheat. So the Gemara says, why here was it changed? The answer is because wheat is the food of man. Barley basically is a Michael Behema, was the food of animals. If a man is on the level of a man, and what was a man? A man was offered mina adoma. He was made from the dust of the earth. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a spirit. Then the sacrifices that he brought were the sacrifices of a man. He brought wheat. But if we're dealing here with people who have become unfaithful and they have fallen slave to their physical passions, so then no longer is this supreme man. This is man without mind. This is man without spirit. Then that's animal. This is the level of an animal. So therefore, this korban, the sacrifice, was seorim, was barley. This is what the Gemara says. The kior and the kano, the fountain, was used to bring the woman back to her husband. To guarantee in Israel that there would not be acts of unfaithfulness. Now, when there's unfaithfulness, there cannot be any greater disruption or destruction of the unity of man and his wife. This is the ultimate in the destruction of the bayis, the destruction of the house. The kior v'kanoi was used to build the shalom bayis, to bring them together, to preclude possibilities of unfaithfulness. Now, if there is a unity between a man and a woman, and it's merely a unity at a physical level, then this is not the shalom that we're speaking about. But if there's a unity between a man and a woman, and this is a unity which brings the two together to unite them completely, not only body, but mind and soul, then this is the shalom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One is in the physical world, and one becomes part of the spiritual world. And this was the function of the Kiyur V'Kanoi. So we see that the functions of the Kiyur V'Kanoi were to take physical man and to elevate him to the point where he becomes a king, a supreme being, where he walks already on levels beyond this world. Man who's not merely physical, but is a man with a mind and with a spirit. These were the functions. Now these women that came to Moshe Rabbeinu, we see from several places that they were very, very united with their husbands.
Firstly, the Gemara tells us that 210 years they lived in Egypt. And of those 210 years, there were many, many years of affliction and slavery when they were beneath the heel and the rule of Egypt. And Znus Achas Hoyisov Upirsima Akosov. There was only one case of unfaithfulness. And the Torah writes about it to tell us that this was the only case. And even that case was actually, the Chazal tell us, the Medrash tells us, was basically through error. The Egyptians, the Goyim, the Goyish nations, used to contend that the children that came out of Egypt were not the children of the Jews. They were a mixed species. They were offsprings of the Egyptians. Because they said, if the Egyptians ruled over the men, so certainly they must have ruled over the women. So in this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu testifies not true. And when he counted all of the Jews that came out of Egypt, and all of the tribes, so he added his name, a Yud and a He, by each tribe, by each name, a Yud and a He. Why? To testify that Kulam Kedoshim, Kulam Tahorim. They're all from the Oves. They're all from Jewish fathers and mothers, Israeli fathers and mothers. There was no mixed blood. Znus Achas Hoyiso Upirzma Kosov. In the entire 210 years, there was only one case of unfaithfulness. And the Torah tells us about it to teach us that this was the only case. This was because of the great loyalty that the women had to their husbands. So united that they were, and so close to their husbands. And then the Gemara tells us that when, not only through a non-positive way, were they close to their husbands, which means that they guarded themselves from the Egyptians. But even in a positive way, when their husbands were fatigued and crushed from all of the slave labor and affliction, and the women saw that they have to produce a generation that would go out of Egypt, so they came out to the fields. And they brought their mirrors. And they aroused the desires of their husbands until that they were able to produce this generation. So here we see that even in a positive manner, so united they were with their husbands. Now this unity was a unity which was complete. It was a unity at every level. It was a physical unity. It was an emotional unity. It was a mental unity. It was a spiritual unity. And therefore, since it came through these copper mirrors, and such a unity creates achdus, a oneness. And this oneness is the shalom, the peace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it was at a higher level than this world. So therefore the Almighty said, these copper mirrors must be used for the fountain. Because the function of the fountain was to elevate man from the physical realm to a higher realm. And that's what these women did with their mirrors. We can go one point further to illustrate this even more so. The Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took his name and he inscribed the letters of his name in Ish and Isha, in man and woman. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has two letters in his name, the Yud and the He. He took the Yud and inscribed it in the word Ish, Aleph Yud Shin. He took the He and he inscribed it in the word Isha, Aleph Shin He. The Gemara says that if there's Shalom B'neihem, if there's peace between them, this means there's unity at all levels, then Hashchina Shruya B'neihem, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu lives with them. And then it's Isha V'Ish, Ish V'Isha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is there. He unites them. But if there's not unity between them, then he withdraws. Ein Hashchina Shruya B'neihem. Shekhinah doesn't live with them. So he withdraws from them. If he will remove his name, then you'll have Esh for Esh. Then the word Ish becomes Esh, and the word Isha becomes Esh. And it's fire and fire. And they cannot live together. Now what does this teach us? That this perfection between man and woman has to be at a spiritual level. Otherwise it cannot exist. Without a Kodesh Baruch Hu's name, without the spiritual element, then it's two fires. Two fires consume each other. And that's the Machlekes. This is the dissension of this world. With a Kodesh Baruch Hu's name amongst them, then they are united at a spiritual level, not only at a spiritual level, but they're intertwined with Him. Because he has one letter of Hashem's name and she has one letter of Hashem's name. So they become united with him because the level of shalom that they reach is his level. So they become united with his achdus, with his oneness. The Maral explains that the Gemara mentioned, we quoted from the Rambam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so great was his insistence that there should be peace, that he was willing to eradicate his own name. Had his name written on a parchment, and the parchment was eradicated in the waters of the fountain. Why? Why was he willing to eradicate his name to bring peace between man and his wife? So he explains, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't eradicating his name. He was putting his name together. It was a question that where should it be eradicated from? From the parchment or from human beings? When there is strife between man and woman, that's the eradication of Hashem's name. Because the Yud and the He are in man and woman. If they're together in peace, then you have His name. If there's strife, then it's broken. So He merely eradicated it on the parchment in order to put his name together completely in man and woman. This was the purpose of that. This is the reason why in the Pasuk it compares Klal Yisrael with a Yonah. The Pasuk that we quoted, it compares Yisrael to a Yonah, to a dove. The Chazal tell us that the dove is different than all of the other birds in one aspect. And that is that once one partner dies, the other one will never take another partner. Will never take another partner once one of the partners dies. So it shows us that the Zivug, that the unity of the dove was an unbreakable unity. And this is why Klal Yisrael were called the doves. in this posuk, because this was the loyalty that the women had to the men. Now this is insofar as the unity between the man and his wife. Now accordingly, this is something also which is very important. Accordingly, the telodes, the children, follow suit. If man and woman unite themselves at this great level, then the children who are born from this unity will be born into a very great level. If men and women unite themselves, not at a level of complete unity, not at a level of this great spiritual height, then the children also are born at that level. That's why the Gemara tells us many times that if there is not complete peace between man and his wife at the time when they unite, so this causes great imperfections in the generations that come from this union. Great imperfections. And therefore the Gemara says like this, that this generation that was produced in Egypt, this was a generation that Hem Hikiruhu, that recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that on the Yam said, Zekeli V'Anvehu, this is my God and I shall beautify him. And the Gemara says that at the time of the crossing of the sea, they recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they came to tremendous heights of prophecy. Why did they come to such heights? Because they were born from this woman. And therefore, the Gemara praises this generation. Now we mentioned that we see two things. Firstly, that because of the acts of the women, the mirrors were used for the fountain. Secondly, the Gemara says that it was because of their shchus that the bonim were nigolo mi Mitzrayim. Because of their shchus, Israel were redeemed. All right, we've explained why their mirrors were used for the fountain. But why was it because of their shchus that Israel was redeemed from Egypt? See, here also something, a very profound concept. Enslavement is linked only to the physical world. Only a physical being can be enslaved. The spirit, in essence, is free. We spoke on Shabbos where the Torah tells us Chorus al aluchais, the words which were engraved on the tablets. There the Torah uses the word Chorus, which is the same word as freedom, which means that the spiritual world that the Torah brings to a person is synonymous with freedom. Slavery is always at the physical level. It can never be at the spiritual level. If a person is enslaved, this is because he lives in the physical world. If a person rises above the physical world, then he will never be enslaved. Physically he might be enslaved, perhaps. But total enslavement is impossible. Now the enslavement that took place by Klal Yisrael, that was only because they were at a physical level. Once they reached spiritual heights, no longer could Egypt rule over them. Since this generation was born from the acts of these women, and the acts of these women constituted a madreges hasholom, a level of unity that already is equivalent to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shalom, so then the children followed that level, the children that were produced. And being at such a level, so then the ends came Chayrus, came the freedom from Yitzrayim, from Egypt. They could not be on the level where they could see the Keli v'Anvehu, they could see HaKadosh Baruch Hu and still be enslaved by Egyptians. Therefore, it was Bishar and Oshim Sitkonias, through the acts of the righteous women of Egypt, Nigoalu Yisrael b'Mitzrayim. Egypt, Israel became redeemed. The Gemara says even further. The Gemara brings a very interesting Gemara. States, we have in Parshas Vayishlach. Now it's in Parshas Vayetze, where there's an episode between Rachel and Leah. Where Leah's son found a plant and Rachel wanted it because this plant was supposed to have the qualities where it can induce someone to pregnancy. So Rachel wanted it. So she gave it to Rachel. But then Leah said that in turn for this, you must let Yaakov, our husband, he must dwell with me this evening. So Vayove Yaakov min Asode, this is in Pashas Vayetze Breshis Lamed Posek Tes Zayin, Vayove Yaakov min Asode ba'erev, Yaakov came from the field at night, Vateitze Leah likrosei, and Leah went out to meet him. Her desire for to be with Yaakov, her love and devotion for him was so great that she went out to meet him. And she said that tonight you are to be with me, not to be with Rachel. Batar, that night she became pregnant. And she gave Yaakov a fifth son. Who was the son? The son was Yisochar. Now Yisochar was different than all of the other sons, the Chazal tell us. Yisochar was the power of Torah. From all of the 12 Shvatim, the greatest Chachomim, the greatest scholars of Torah came from Yisochar. At one time, 200 Rosh Sanhedris, 200 Supreme Court judges were occupied by members of the tribe of Yisochar. And it states on Yisochar Yedei Vino, they understood Torah, they had the understanding of Torah greater than anyone else. This came from this union. And when it came to be Ma'abed HaChodesh, to make the new moons and the leap years and so forth, which was very difficult, all of the people would come to Yisochar. This was Yisochar. Now the Gemara tells us in Masechet Nedarim, could you give me a Masechet Nedarim, please? What? Oh. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Nedarim, Daf Chof, the Gemara says, Daf Chof, Seif Amud Beis, Omer B'Yenison, Kol Odom Shishte Tovasai, a woman who pursues her husband, her devotion and faithfulness to her husband is so great that she pursues her husband. The Gemara brings, but it must be in a modest manner, but she pursues him. Then the offsprings will be even greater than the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu. How do we know this? Because during the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, it states, "Havu lechem anoshim chachomim unuveinim." HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, "Make courts and make leaders of the courts." Moshe said, "What kind of people?" So Hashem said, "Find chachomim, wise people, unuveinim, people with great understanding." It states, "Va'ekach es reshei shivteichem v'leksiv unuveinim." Later, it says that Moshe found wise people, but he didn't find people of great understanding. So we see unuveinim, people of great understanding, didn't exist even in the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu. By Yisochar,
It states, "Mibnei Yisachar yedei avino li'itim." The children of Yisachar had great understanding. So what do we see? That Yisachar had an attribute that was greater than even the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu. And why was that? That was because of Leah's great faithfulness and great desire for Yaakov Avinu. So again, because there you have a complete unity. If you have a complete unity at all levels, this is the Achdus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then it follows suit by the children. So they are of a supreme level. This is what the Chazal tell us. This is the explanation why that when the women came with their mirrors, Moshe did not completely understand the whole parsha, even though Moshe Rabbeinu knew kol ha'teira kula. He didn't completely understand this. And he felt, what should the mirrors have to do with the Mishkan, with the sanctuary? And the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Kabel, take them. Heim chavivin alai mikulam. They're greater to me than all of the nedovas, than everything that was brought. Because Aliyadehem, through them, they came to a complete shalom, and they produced a generation that was the generation that went out of Egypt. And therefore they were chosen for the Kiyot Vekanoi, for the fountain. That also elevates man from the physical level to the spiritual level. The time is late, so we have to conclude. But there's much to be said for all of this in our time today. In our time today, when we live in a world of dissension, in a world of machlekes, and we find also that there's a great levels of dissension in the homes of people. We don't value what it means, shalom bayis. And we live in a world of promiscuity. And many great sages and rabbonim have said that this is all one parsha. The fact that there's so much promiscuity and the fact that there is this destruction of the unity of the house, this is one thing, as we're speaking of. And unfortunately, we live in a time when the sheker is misgaber, when the lies and the deceits and the falsehood become overpowering, and the midah of Esav, where they try to project an image which is a total distortion to the truth, and you have Hollywood and other places constantly grinding out images to give a veneer and to give glamour to something which is really just the antithesis of such a thing. Because this is something which brings total destruction to a household, unfaithfulness, destruction of children, and it leads to further great calamities like we see in our generation today, where it leads to psychiatric problems, physical diseases, suicides, to the point where there's no end. And for the sake of money, you have your public relations and your promotions, and your Hollywood's constantly grinding out more images and images that this would be the glamour of the world. And no one can be free from this. So what is being spoken of here and studied here tonight takes on an even more relevant importance. Like the Rambam writes, that shalom bayis, that there should be unity between a man and a wife, and a total unity
at all levels, this takes precedence, he says, over other mitzvahs. If you have money for Shabbos candles, which represents the Sholem Bayis, but you won't have wine for Kiddush, or you won't have Hanukkah candles, Sholem Bayis Adifa, this will take precedence. Sharei kol ha-teir elei nitna, ela lasei Sholem Olam. The entire purpose of the Torah was to bring a unity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Echad. So there's much to speak about on this. I just want to conclude with one interesting, very interesting halacha. In Shulchan Aruch, in Eben Ezer, is brought that a person is obligated, as we all know, to have children in the mitzvah of Peruavu. What happens if he has a son and a daughter? So he has fulfilled the mitzvah min haTorah, he has fulfilled the Torah commandment, but he's still obligated, midrabonim, the rabbis told him that he must continue to have children. Even if you had children in your youth, you should continue to have children even in your older years. This is a mitzvah midrabonim. In Eben Ezer, Simen Aleph, Sivches in the Ramo, states that if a man had children and his wife, Rachmana l'Islam, died, so then he must marry again, it states. And he should look for a woman who's capable of having children. Because as we mentioned, it's a mitzvah to continue to have children. So it's brought the problem that let's say he has several children, but he sees that if he will marry a woman where he'll have further children from her, he sees there will be strife in the household. Because between the fact that there is that he sees that he from the fact from the situation mishore shim yiso isha bas bonim yove ketote sumeriva is bein abonim o bein ishtoi, that if he'll have further children from another wife, there'll be strife between the children or between his wife. So the halacha is brought that by all means he should try to marry a woman where he can have further children. But if he sees the situation where it's going to be bring strife, then he should marry a woman who no longer can have children. So the question is, but what right does he have to not fulfill this mitzvah? So the Trumas Adeshin is brought from the Trumas Adeshin and the Peskin bring and the Gon brings, because the Gemara says in Masechet Yevamos that you're allowed to negate, not to fulfill a positive commandment in the Torah for the sake of avoiding strife in your household. So therefore, if you're allowed to negate a positive commandment, you're not allowed to transgress a negative commandment, but if you're allowed to negate a positive commandment in the Torah to avoid strife in one's house, so then certainly this mitzvah, which is not a mitzvah min haTorah because he already had children, but it's a mitzvah d'rabbanan. Where do we see such a thing? Where do we see that you're allowed to negate a positive commandment in the Torah to avoid strife in one's household? So the Trumas Adeshin and the Gon bring it to Beferish Gemara. It's a Gemara in Masechet Yevamos. The Gemara says on Daf Mem Dalet Omer Aleph. The Gemara brings in two places, but on Daf Mem Dalet Omer Aleph, the Gemara says the Din of Yovam. If there's Reuben and Shimon, two brothers, and Shimon dies without children, then the mitzvah min haTorah is that Reuben should marry his wife. He's supposed to marry his brother's wife since his brother died without children. Now, it states in the Torah, V'dibru elov, v'koru leizikne irei v'dibru elov. They call the elders of the city. In other words, you must have a bezdin. V'dibru elov, and they speak to him. So we understand, right? We understand the elders of the city. But what did they say to him? So the Gemara says, malamet shemisin la'itza hegenesloi. They give him good advice.
Shim hoyo hu yelam yizakeino. If he is very young and she is very old, or hu zoken vihi yaldo, or he is very old and she is very young, Aimrin lei, they tell him, malacho etzel yaldo, malacho etzel zakeino. Why are you marrying such a young girl, or why are you marrying someone that's so much older than you? Klach etzel shikemeisko, go find someone that is based more or less your own age. Val tosim ktota beveisecho, do not bring strife into your household. Therefore, they advise him to give chalitza. He has two options, either to marry or to give chalitza. Chalitza is a certain exercise that the Torah gives us, in which you won't have to marry her, and you can free her to marry someone else. Now, the Gemara explicitly says, in many places in Yevamos, chalitza b'makom yibum lav mitzvah. That chalitza is not considered a mitzvah where you have the option to actually marry her. The mitzvah is to marry her. And it's not considered, a shloki says that chalitza b'makom yibum lav mitzvahi, that to give chalitza is not a mitzvah where you can fulfill yibum. Today we don't do yibum for various reasons. The Sfaradim do it, we don't. The Ashkenazim don't. But when it was done, the mitzvah was yibum, to marry her. So what right do they have to tell him? We'll give you good advice. Don't marry her, give her chalitza. You're telling him to be mevatel the mitzvah, you're telling him to negate the mitzvah. And this is a mitzvah zeshem in HaTorah, a positive commandment in the Torah. Ve'al tosim ketota beveis echo. Don't bring strife into your home. So what do we see? From here that I'm all with the Trumas Edeshin and the Gaon bring, you see that you're allowed to be mevatel the mitzvah zeshem in HaTorah. You're allowed to negate a positive commandment in the Torah, rather to bring ketota bebeisecho, to bring strife in one's home. This is how great the Torah held shalom bayis, peace in one's house. There's a lot for us to learn here, as mentioned, and is very relevant. And in Yitz Hashem, we should be zeicha to see the shalom and the achdus, the unity and the peace in one's home, the unity and peace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the entire world.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za. Via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.